Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Let's give God one more shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Jesus. And God, we say more. We say we want more, Lord. More, God. More of your presence. More of your fire. More of your glory in this house today, Jesus. Do what you need to do. Speak how you need to speak today in the mighty name of Jesus. I say hearts on fire. I say hearts on fire today. Hearts on fire today. I say every single heart set ablaze with a fresh fire, with a fresh hunger, with a fresh zeal on the inside. I declare in the name of Jesus, you're not leaving this place the same today. You're not leaving this house the same today. Come on. This is a marking time. This is a marking time. It's a marking time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, buckle up. Yeah. This sermon today has been confirmed too many times to count this week. And I'll just say a couple things right up front. You may not like this word, but this is a teaching message that we all need today. So I'm going to do my best to teach us these things because we need to get this for the days ahead. We need this for what we're about to step into. And again, you may not like it. I didn't particularly like this at first when the Lord was working it through me this week. Okay, come on, we're in this together. But we have to get this. So I'm going to teach us something today that's going to help us to get to the next level. I'm going to start with three passages of Scripture, and then we're going to unpack what the Holy Spirit needs us to step into today. Amen? We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8, it commands us, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined." Come on, somebody. I love that. I've come today to awaken the warriors. I've come today to stir up the end time army because you are in the fight of your life against the devil and his demons, but many people don't like that. Many wish that weren't true. The problem is we've been involved in spiritual warfare, whether we knew it or not, or whether we like it or not. But too many believers want to live like ostriches, sticking their heads in the sand, foolishly thinking if they just leave the devil alone, he'll just leave them alone. I promise y'all already preached this word today. But I say, wake up. Because that's not how war works. You can't just pretend that your enemy isn't there trying to steal your children's innocence. You can't just look the other way when the enemy's trying to kill the conscience of a nation. You can't escape to some fantasy land where you just soak in the lazy river of glory while the enemy's destroying marriages, destroying babies in the womb, destroying truth and justice. You can't just stick your fingers in your ears and tune out every prophetic voice that tries to put a gun back in your hands in the spirit and push you back to the front lines. Because the enemy's coming whether you like it or not. The enemy's here whether you like it or not. But the only way he's gonna surrender, the only way he's gonna be subdued, the only way that he's gonna flee is when you rise up in your authority and take your rightful place and enforce the victory that Jesus already won in every area where the enemy's attacking you in. The question is, what are you gonna do about it? Because in many ways and for many years, the enemy has lied to believers and deceived them into thinking that there's nothing at all for them to do. Because Jesus already paid it all. Or that fighting or spiritual warfare were optional. Well, that's just something that I could do if I choose. Or, well, that's just for the really spiritual people. That's just for the really mature people. Or that demons aren't even real. And they're not behind all the wickedness and the chaos and the craziness that we see in the world. Or that their voice doesn't really carry the weight or authority to effectively fight the devil and push back on all his evil schemes. But I came to remind the remnant that the devil is a liar, and you've been given the authority and the power from the Lord Jesus Christ to trample that devil under your feet. You have been mantled and you have been equipped. You have been commissioned to go and to do the same things that Jesus did, to speak the same things that Jesus did, and yes, expect to see the same kind of results that Jesus did. As he went around doing good and destroying the works of the devil. That's what he did. He went around doing good and destroying the works of the devil. And I came to remind somebody today, you've been called by his name. You've been covered by his blood. You've been filled with his spirit, not just to go to heaven, not just to have a clear conscience, not just to sit in a room with a bunch of like-minded people once a week and feel a little bit better about ourselves. No, it's actually to go and to do something. It's to actually go and live your faith out. It's to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus to your world. It's to persistently step out in faith and walk in all of the good works Jesus predestined you to walk in. It's to wage war on the enemy of your soul and enforce the victory. But one of the main traps we have to watch out for as we're fighting from victory is passivity. Why? Because if the devil can't keep you from getting saved, if he can't keep you from being filled with the Holy Ghost, if he can't keep you from being totally disconnected from church and the things of God, he will try to tempt you and distract you and straight up attack you with passivity. Passivity simply means not active, lacking in energy or will, complacency, indifference, laziness, don't care, unresponsive, non-participating, apathetic, unassertive, stoic, accepting or submitting without objection or resistance. The devil doesn't really mind too much if you're on active duty as long as you're not activated. He doesn't care too much if you show up to the fight as long as you just sit down and shut up when you get there. He doesn't mind if you recognize how he's attacking you as long as you just accept, well, it just is what it is. He doesn't care if you're technically present as long as you stay disengaged. He doesn't care if you hear the word of God as long as you stay lazy and never even try to do something with it. He doesn't even care if you get in God's presence as long as you're not moved by it, as long as you're not affected by it, as long as you don't let it touch your heart and stir your spirit. The devil wants you to just accept whatever hell he throws your way. But don't care. Don't push back. Just accept your fate. Lose all hope. Live in discouragement and a pit of despair. Because as long as you accept that, you won't stand up and walk in the truth. You won't resist his lying thoughts and vain imaginations. You won't stand up and pick up your sword and shield and fight. The enemy wants to try and take the fight out of you so you won't want to take the fight to him. That's it. So the title of this message and what we must learn to do immediately is aggressively resist passivity. Aggressively resist passivity. Because for too long, much of the church has bought into this lie from the enemy that we don't have to fight. Either in ignorance or because they just don't like it. Maybe they feel like it's too hard. Or maybe it's just not my personality type. Well, that just seems a little bit too messy. Or that just seems too confrontational. It seems uncomfortable. Or maybe they bought into that other lie we just talked about. If I just leave the devil alone, he'll just leave me alone. But again, it doesn't really matter what the reason is if the outcome is still the same. As long as it ends up with a passive church instead of a powerful church, it doesn't matter how you end up there, just as long as the outcome is the same. Whatever works, whatever gets the job done, whatever disarms you, whatever makes you lay down your arms and not want to fight, whatever makes you want to sit on the sidelines and not go charge and take off Goliath's head. It doesn't matter to the enemy as long as it works. But the church only becomes passive when the preachers become passive. Well, just say it, come on. Leading the people to become passive. The enemy knows that passive armies don't win wars. The enemy knows this. And the enemy knows if he can get the men, specifically, if he can get the men who are supposed to be the natural leaders, the guardians, the protectors, come on, the soldiers, if he can get them suckered into the bondage of passivity, it will be that much easier to just keep fighting and taking territory against the church. There is a reason why there's a never-ending stream of propaganda disguised as entertainment that's being pumped out, targeted to either mock and emasculate men or to seduce and sexualize men. And that is this reason, to program men to not even have the will to fight and just stay in a state of passivity. The devil wants the men of God to check out while he goes roaming around, destroying their marriages, destroying their kids, devouring their God-given destiny, all because they just sat back and let it happen. But I know, especially after Thursday night, come on, men of God, I know that there's a remnant of revival men who are rising up in this hour, and they say enough is enough. Not on my watch. They're taking hold of their mantle. They're sharpening their swords. Oh, they're lifting up a war cry. That didn't sound like much of a war cry. Come on. That's better. That's better. Come on. They're putting hell on notice. The devil's gone and overplayed his hand, and he's awakened a sleeping giant, and the gloves are coming off in the name of Jesus. I see a men's revival of those who will not be complacent, who won't be okay with just the status quo, but will stand their ground and push back on the enemy that's trying to take out their family. But come on, this is for the women too. Come on, somebody. This battle's all hands on deck. This is everybody. Man, your battle stations. We're all in this fight together. It's going to take the whole army working in unity, moving as one, following the commander of angel armies into victorious battle. Come on, it's time to rally the troops today. It's time to sound the alarm. It's time for battle. It's time for war. It's time to take a stand. It's time to fight and to aggressively resist passivity. This is critical. Because if the devil is successful at getting us sidelined in passivity, he can easily win every other battle. If he can get us in passivity, he can win every other battle. Why? Because we won't have the will to fight him. Think about it. If he can straight up just get you not to want to fight in the first place, he can come and do anything he wants to you, and it won't matter because you won't fight. But on the other hand, if the church is successful at getting delivered from a passive spirit and get serious about renewing their minds with the truth, there's no battle that the Lord will lead us to that we cannot win. There is no devil that he can lead us to fight against that we can't have the victory over. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Come on, y'all should memorize. That's a good one. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. And Romans 8:37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Please notice again, these verses contain powerful military language. Leads us in triumph, more than conquerors. This is not safe, soft, sanitized, wishy-washy, watered-down words to give us all the warm, fuzzy feelings. If he's leading you into triumph, that means you just got victory in a battle. If you're more than a conqueror, that means you just soundly defeated your enemy. But the church has been so unbalanced and so lopsided in its approach to God, we've in many ways forgotten how to even think like a warrior. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God has an amazing plan for your life. But God's family is a military family. And part of his great plan for your life is to be like Jesus and go around doing good and destroying the works of the devil. It's time to get back to the full counsel of God. Jesus even explained it in Matthew 11:12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion." the way we're supposed to go after the kingdom of God is the exact opposite of passive. It's aggressive. It even says right here it's violent. What does that mean? That means you push back against and you fight whatever is trying to get in your way, whatever's trying to hinder you from going all in and possessing everything that Jesus died to give you. You don't just kind of think, oh, maybe that might be a good idea. As Pastor Paul Owen says, revival is war. You need to fight fiercely against whatever is fighting you. Whatever is fighting you from laying hold of the promises of God. You need to seize it. You need to take it by force from the very hands of your enemy with the most ardent zeal and the most intense exertion. We got to be like Joshua going in to take the promised land. It's such a good example because it's exactly what Jesus said. They didn't just go into the promised land and just sit. They went in and fight. They fought. They went and took it city by city, little by little. They kept taking it as they went. Victory to victory to victory. They had to fight for it. It was already theirs. But they still had to step out and fight for it. God already gave them the victory, but they still had to go and actually step into it. That's not passive, my friend. That's aggressive. They went and took it. They didn't go in and ask. Oh, little Jericho people. Come on. You know, God said that this is our city, so it'd be really nice. It'd be really nice if you just left peacefully. I mean, we don't really want to fight and we don't want trouble, so if you could just go your way and we'll go ours. That's not how that went down. That's not how war goes. War goes, I'm going to shout, the walls are going to come down, and then we're going in and we're taking every single enemy out. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. You're coming down in the name of Jesus. That's how we have to approach all of the sin in our life, all of the obstacles in our way, all of the demons that try to block us and hinder us from stepping in. You can't be nice about it. You can't just say, oh, it would. No, you got to go in and take them out in the name of Jesus. It's bold. It's intense. Come on, I know y'all have heard it too. People are like, why is your church so intense? Why? Well, mostly because that's what Jesus said. Come on, we just read that. But also because that's exactly what it takes to actually win and take hold of it. That's what it takes to win battles, is fighting. So the question should be, not why is my church so intense? Why is... That's exactly right. Why is your church not intense? Why does your pastor coddle you in complacency instead of equipping you to fight? Why is there no fervent prayer meeting? Why is there no loud, expressive, heartfelt, aggressive, high praise that kicks out depression, that sets captives free, that breaks every yoke of the enemy, and ushers in the King of Glory? Why does your church have no push, no zeal, no will to fight? Because God's family fights for truth. God's family fights for holiness. God's family fights for righteousness. God's family fights for revival. God's family fights for other people's freedom. Come on, where the freedom fighter's at today. Come on, you gotta pull on that. You gotta pull on that freedom fighter mantle today. Where are the territory takers at? Come on, you got to pull on it. Pull on it. We're supposed to be imitators of God. And God is a man of war. Lest we forget how Isaiah 42:13 describes our great God. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will shout. He will shout out. Yes, he will raise a war cry, and he will prevail mightily against his enemies. Just making sure you're still with me today. So be an imitator of that God. Be an imitator of the God of the Bible. Not the syrupy, sweet, milk and mild, milk toast, modern American imposter version of Jesus. You should go forth like a warrior. You should stir up your zeal like a man of war. You should shout and raise your war cry. And you should prevail mightily against your enemies in Jesus' name. That's how you start to take it back. That's how you start to reclaim what's already been yours. This is how you restore your true identity in Christ. This is how you begin to aggressively resist passivity. You have to renounce the lies and embrace the truth. Because if you're not proactive and vigilant, the enemy will come and sow his lying seeds to make you believe that everything in life is supposed to be easy. I came to blow up easy today. That anything that's hard or anything that takes time, anything that stretches you or makes you uncomfortable couldn't be God. That anytime you have a fight on your hands, that automatically means it's a bad thing to be avoided at all costs. Oh, let's go. The devil is a liar. Some of the best things in life are actually very hard. They're challenging, they're difficult, but they help you to learn and to grow up and to get stronger. Some of the best lessons you can learn are having to go through a fight. Here's just a few examples I'm going to throw out. We're going to go through many of them today. Praise God. These are true statements that the devil does not want you to believe are true. It's easy to fall in love, but it's a fight to stay in love. No, it should be easy. The devil's a liar. Not easy. It's a fight to stay in love. It's easy to start a project, but it's a fight to see it through to the end. Well, I started it. I mean, it should just happen. I should just feel it all the time. It's a fight to finish it. It's easy to learn the truth, but there's a fight to apply it. Come on, discipleship. It's easy to learn the truth, but it's a fight to apply it. It's easy to recognize the need for revival, but it's a fight to pay the price and to plow and to push and to sustain revival. Well, if God just wanted to do it, he would just pour it out. He would just do whatever he wants to do. No. There's a push. There's a fight. It's easy to say yes to Jesus, but it's a lifelong fight against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. Just because you got saved does not mean everything in your life is peaches and roses and every path is just perfectly laid out in front of you with no obstacles, with no potholes, with no devils trying to come and trip you up. It's a fight. You're going to have to fight your way through to the end. These are all true statements, but passivity will tempt you to think that if there is a fight, you automatically did something wrong. Because it shouldn't be hard. It should be easy. It would be so much easier not to have to fight. It'd be a lot easier not to have that hard conversation. It'd be a lot easier to not rock the boat and mess some people's theology up. It'd be easier to just let the TV and the public schools raise your kids. It'd be easier if God just sent revival and I didn't have to do all that praying and crying out. It would be easier to just soak in the lazy river of glory and let those other people carry the heavy load and do all the heavy lifting and do all the hard work of tarrying and warring over a region until God rends the heavens and comes down. But I came to say, wake up, O sleeper. We're at war. There's a war going on in the heavenlies. And God's looking for some people on this planet who will rise up in their blood-bought authority and aggressively resist passivity. 1 Timothy 6:12 exhorts us, fight the good fight of faith. Very plain. Written as a command. Fight the good fight. Not if you want to. Not if that's your thing. Not if that's your personality. Not if it's comfortable or convenient. It just says fight. So the question for us all today, how's your fight? How's your fight? Are you fighting the good fight? Or are you being passive in some way? Even letting the enemy squat in your life. Because you know what squatters do. Squatters trespass. And they take up residence in someone else's home. And they will not leave until somebody with some authority forcefully kicks them out. So maybe you're here today. And passivity has tricked you into letting the devil squat in your life. And because you haven't risen up and evicted him yet, he's still there hanging around. Squatting in your marriage. Squatting in your kids' lives. Squatting in your work ethic. Squatting in your time management. Squatting in your prayer life. Squatting in your worship. Squatting in developing your spiritual gifts. Squatting in you reaching the lost. Come on, you get the idea? But I came to remind you today that in the name of Jesus, you have the authority. You have been authorized by the power of the name of Jesus to break ties with any and every place of passivity in your life and cast that lying devil out in Jesus' name. James 4:7 tells us, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There it is again. We can't escape. All over the Bible, the military language used to describe exactly how we're supposed to live this faith out. The first thing we have to do is submit to God. If we're not submitted to God, we are living in pride and rebellion. And we should have zero expectation of the enemy having to flee from our lives. So that's first and foremost. You got to submit to God first. Submit to the commander first. Come on, if you're in an army, you can't be submitting to the enemy's commander and then expect him to leave when you're already in league with him. You got to submit to your general first, and then you can go out. But there's one more thing. There's another piece here. It commands us also submit to God and resist the devil. Come on, we're talking about aggressively resist passivity. And resist means, watch this, to set against. withstand, oppose, take a complete stand against, a 180-degree contrary position. Holding one's ground, refusing to be moved, to forcefully declare one's convictions, ardently withstand without giving up and without letting go. It was a military term, meaning to strongly resist your opponent and take a firm stand against them. That's what it means to resist. It's a military term that is not playing around. There is no room for compromise. There is no place for mixture. It's taking a 180-degree opposite position. And it's doing it forcefully, ardently, strongly, because your resolve has a resolve. You've got conviction. You're a convinced birther who has set their face like flint, and you've already made up your mind. You already burned the cart. You're not giving that devil an inch, and you're not backing down for nothing. Resist means you fight. You push back. You counter the lies with truth. You forcefully declare the truth out loud in that situation until it shifts. You actually step out and do something that's the opposite of what the devil's trying to get you to do. We're going to help some people today. If that passive devil tells you to just chill and not do anything in your marriage, you fight back by having a date night every week and start investing more time communicating with your spouse than you do consuming TV. If that passive devil tries to tell you to just sit at home and not testify about God's goodness or tell somebody else about the good news, you fight back by grabbing one of those invite cards off the back table, and you don't come back here next week until you've told somebody about Jesus. If the devil tries to get you to just tame down your prayers, tame it down. Just take the edge off. If I had a dollar for every time some lying devil spoke through someone, you know, your church would really be a lot bigger if you just dialed it down just a notch. Just take the edge off. If he tries to get you to dial back your praise and not lift your voice or shout or cry out to God, you fight back by imitating the Lord. And you stir up your zeal like a warrior, and you let out a shout of victory right in that lying devil's ears. Now, don't be too quick to think you don't have something in your life where you've been acting passive towards that needs some immediate attention. Come on, he was working on me this week too. Here we go. Passivity could also be thought of as lounging around, wasting what free time you do have on things that are not productive and usually all about you. Here's a few other examples for your consideration. If you spend all of your free time binge watching TV, if you waste all of your free time swiping on social media, if you squander all of your free time watching sports, or maybe you like to use up all your time playing games, or even just sleeping your life away. Now, Some of these things are necessarily bad in and of themselves. Some of them are. But some of them can become so distracting and so addicting that they can suck up all of your time and all of your energy. Maybe you spend so much time on an activity that it squeezes out all the rest of your time and energy to do things that really matter or to help somebody else. We can also think that just because I'm technically doing something, that I'm not passive or lazy. But what if what it is you're doing is keeping you from making God the number one priority? What if it's keeping you from actually stepping out and fulfilling your assignment? What if it's keeping you from crossing thresholds and growing deeper with God? My friend, you have just found yourself in the passivity hamster wheel.
Yes. Yes.
You're doing something.
Yeah.
You're going round and around. Round and around. I'm doing something. I'm going real fast. But it's the wrong something.
Woo.
Literally just spinning wheels. It's the wrong something. You're doing it.
Right, right.
But it's not producing the fruit that Jesus has entrusted and expects you to produce. But I'll say this too. The more free time that you have, the more opportunities you have to do something for the kingdom of God. We may not all have the same amount of free time, right? Some of us might have an hour. Some of us might have 40. But what do you do with what you do have? That's what matters.
Right?
If I have 40 hours a week and I blow it all on me, but you have one, but you actually use it for God. And we'll all be held accountable for how well we were a steward of our time. That hit me this week, y'all.
Come on now.
Maybe you're passive with the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
Maybe you're passive with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Maybe with the words that come out of your mouth. Maybe with your attitude. Maybe you're passive with evangelism, or passive with the days that we're living in, or passive in prayer, or passive in the word, or passive memorizing the word, or passive about being discipled by the word. Passive in our praise and worship, passive with our shout, passive with our sound, passive in even finding church essential. My God, there's people that have not been back to church since COVID. They don't even think it's important anymore. Parents passive with raising their kids. Kids passive about growing up, getting a job, learning basic life skills. Come on, we could be passive in dealing with confrontation. But those who carried the ark, were not passive. They were intentional. Passivity wouldn't get the ark back to the holy city. No one in Scripture who accomplished anything for God was passive about it. They were active. They were intentional. They were engaged. No one in revival history was passive about a move of God. They took it personally. They gladly came up under the burden and said, I gotta do something about it. I can't just sit by and watch my city go to hell. I gotta stand and pray and tarry and beg and plead, God, do it again here. But yet somehow, the enemy has lured the believers today into thinking, oh, I did a little something more than what I used to do. And definitely more than the church next door. Gross. So clearly I'm not passive. clearly. But are you aggressively resisting passivity? If your days are not marked by aggressively resisting passivity, I guarantee that you are passive in some area. People have to-do lists, but then get overwhelmed by the to-do lists. People get overwhelmed by actually having to be active and get up and do something. So what do? They go, Many times, yes. But also, sometimes they go and they actually go do something passive to pass the time. They go do something passive just to pass the time, rather than actually doing what they need to do. They're passive in something they want to do instead of being active in what they need to do. That's what happens when you know you need to do something, but instead of doing it, you hit the passive button and just go sit and chill instead. We got lots of that in the body of Christ today. Sitting and chilling. Chilling and sitting. Sitting and chilling. My God. Now we've been so conditioned to just sit and chill and be lazy, they straight up just call the chair a lazy boy. They don't even care. Just call it what it is. That's a lazy boy. My God. Come on, you gotta laugh. We've gotten to the point. Yeah. We've gotten to the point where we even feel justified. We even feel justified in being passive. Well, because I did this one little piddly thing over here, now I get to go over here and just chill for 5 hours. Come on, I did this little thing, you know, boop, check. Oh, yeah, now I just get to go and do nothing and be passive. Well, if that's true of you, my friend, the end times are going to be very hard for you. Because you've not learned yet to take what he's invested in you in this season and stretch your capacity, because at some point, you're not going to be able to just walk into a grocery store and just get whatever kind of food you want. Come on, that's just the truth. People got to get ready. Get ready, get ready. This is a scheme of the enemy to make people passive and chill now so that you won't be prepared for the next season. If he can get you to not sow now, why would you ever think you're going to reap something later? But that's what he does. He makes us think somehow we can do nothing and reap everything. But God's word says you reap what you sow. God's trying to teach us to be disciplined now so that we'll be ready for whatever may come next, so that we won't be the ones caught without oil in our lamps. It's not that we're lacking scripture. We know. We know, many of us know exactly what the word says. Even overload with words. More than anything else, we're not lacking information about the Bible. We're just not very active in applying and doing something with it. Passive in the application of what we don't think we need to do. And you know, we're very pro reading the word. Come on, somebody. You got to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Obviously. But we can't then let it stop there. We have to then go and do what it says. Because when you aren't active with the word, but you know it, you learned it, you studied it, you know it backwards and forwards, but you never do anything with it, that is a Pharisee. James 1:22 says, do not just be hearers of the word, but do what it says. And if you know it, but you're not doing it, you've deceived yourself. We got a lot of people deceived because they were passive with the word, because they heard it, but they refused to do something with it. They pray it. Oh, here we go. They pray it. They declare it, but they don't do it. Yes, pray it. Yes, declare it. But then go do something with it too. We got to go do it. Come on. We've gotten so good over here on the one hand, looking spiritual. And we can appear to other people and even ourselves, mostly ourselves, like we're super spiritual, super awesome. And it's like, okay, that's great, but what did you do? What did you actually do? What did you do with that? Well, I prayed about it. Okay, but what else besides prayer did you do? What else besides reading and declaring the word did you do? What else? I really think that passivity is just you passing time. And you're using whatever your default of passivity is to push away the things you need to do, which is actually keeping you from your purpose. You want to be entrusted with more. But if you are never diligent with what he already entrusted you with, how can he entrust you with more? If you are passive with the things that you just want to do, if you can't empty a dishwasher, why is he going to call you to be a leader in a house? Well, I got dishes everywhere. Come on. I got trash everywhere. Oh, forgot to take the trash out again. My God. Whatever it is. It's like, no. If you're going to be passive with the small things, don't expect him to be trusting you with the bigger things. God is saying to his people, I need you to get your house in order. Because what about the parable of the talents? What about the one who had the one? Just one. One talent. What did he do with what God gave him? Nothing. Nothing. He hid it and did nothing with it. He was passive. He didn't do anything with what he was given. And in the end, he got called out and he got called wicked and lazy. The other two were commended. Why? Because they went out and actually did something with what they were given. In whatever area the enemy has tried to get you to accept anything less than God's best, that is the area that you have to learn to fight back in. Find some scriptures that relates to your issue and start renewing your mind with the truth, because it's not just a spirit. It also becomes a mindset. It becomes a way of thinking and believing. And you're gonna have to renew your mind over time with the truth. You're going to have to learn to change your mind. And one of the most powerful ways to start renewing your mind is to start forcefully declaring those scriptures over that situation, because there's power in your mouth. There's power in your confession. There's power in your declaration. And yeah, you should also praise the Lord. You should always lift some high praise in advance. Praise him in advance. Why? Because that's faith. And because he's always worthy. Praise him in advance because he's worthy. Praise him in advance because you already believe and you know that if he's called you to the battle, he's already given you the victory. So you can go ahead and praise him. Praise him before you see anything change. Because your praise is also a weapon. And it's one of the most powerful tools you have to fight and push back against the enemy of your life. And I'll tell you why. Not just because God's good. Not just because it's the truth. Not just because there's power in your word. But because it shows that you have learned not to bow down to your feelings and your flesh, but you have learned to bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, you're going to love and serve Him no matter what. It's powerful. It also makes the devil shut up and flee. Come on. But mostly, you need to go find some practical way that you can go step out in faith and do the exact opposite of what the devil's trying to get you to settle for. If the enemy says accept it, go reject it. If the enemy says that's how it's always been, you say not after today in the name of Jesus. If the enemy says waste all your time worrying, you need to go spend your time casting your cares on Christ and trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. If the enemy says just to tolerate it, you go and completely and thoroughly root that thing out. If the enemy says to ignore it, you need to give it a furious focus. If the enemy says to turn it down, you need to turn it up louder, louder, louder. If the enemy says go run and hide, you stand your ground and fight. And don't just be reactive either. Don't just sit around waiting for the devil to attack you. Come on, it says aggressively. Aggressively resist. So go on and be proactive. Go and take the fight to him for a change. Come on. What would happen if the church actually didn't just sit back in their little fortress waiting for, oh, here he comes, boop, oh, knocked you down, oh, here he comes, oh, boop, here he is over there. What if they actually gathered all together as an army and said, you know what, we're going to go into the promised land and Jericho's not going to stand against us and that city's not going to stand against us. There's no enemy of God that's going to stand against us. We're going to march out in the name of the Lord. And we're going to fight for it. And we're going to go take it in Jesus' name. Woo! Take the fight to him. Submit to God. Get a strategy. Come on, don't just go running out there trying to go and name a devil and try to blow it up. And no, don't do that. Don't do that. Get a strategy. Get some wisdom. Come on, you wage war by wise counsel. So go ask the Lord, like David. Go ask the Lord, should I go get them? Should I go attack them? What's the plan, God? And then go do it. My, my, my. Time to go on offense. You know, I think it's good to remember that Jesus said about the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Now, I don't know if you have thought about it like that, but for the longest time, I thought about somehow that gates are coming and attacking the church. But that doesn't even make any sense when you think about it. If gates aren't prevailing, that means that we're the ones that are actually going to the gate and like taking a battering ram, come on somebody, and we're the ones that are attacking him. We're the ones that are attacking hell. We're the ones attacking the kingdom of darkness. And it's not a matter of if, but when those gates are gonna fall, those gates are gonna open, and we're gonna go back, and we're gonna take what the enemy stole in Jesus' name. I'm talking taking back prodigals. I'm talking about taking back lost time. I'm talking about taking back lost opportunities. Once the church gets free, then we can go and actually help the world get free.
because they have a calling. They have a destiny. They just don't know it yet. But somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to show them the better way. Somebody has to demonstrate there's a higher purpose to this life. And it's all about Jesus. It's going to take a fully engaged, fully equipped, fully convinced army of brothers and sisters in Christ to take back the territory from the enemy and take their rightful place in the spiritual battle. And one of the best ways that you can aggressively resist passivity is to move in the opposite direction. I hope it hits you the way it hit me. Because the opposite of passivity is diligence. It's diligence. It's diligence. Diligence is the opposite. Diligence is the counter maneuver. Diligence is the opposite direction. You gotta be a diligent disciple. You gotta step out and do what he called you to do, and do it with some zeal, and do it with some fire, and do it fervently and forcefully. My God, eager to exert oneself. Make every effort. Oh, give diligence. Make haste. Be zealous. Strain every nerve. Further the cause. Diligence will help you to aggressively resist passivity. Use your diligence. Here's how you can apply it. Big level. Apply diligence. Use your diligence to aggressively resist that passivity that's trying to work against you. Move in the opposite spirit, and you will start to see that passivity start to flee out of your life in Jesus' name. It's time for the church to take back its aggression, to get its edge back today, to get back its fight. And that starts with each member of that spiritual army getting their aggression and their edge and their fight back today. So I'm going to open these altars up now, and we're going to rid ourselves of every place of passivity where the enemy has tried to keep us stalled out, distracted, and discouraged. And we're going to reclaim some diligence today in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to finish this year strong. Woo. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today with humility. We come before you today, God, and we confess the sin of passivity, the sin of not doing what you told us to do, the sin of sitting by when we should have jumped in. Oh, the sin of not going where you said to go. Oh God, we repent right now in the name of Jesus for every time, for every place, for every season where we lived passively, where we were not engaged, where we really didn't care how it went, where we really didn't care too much what you thought or what you were saying. God, forgive us today. Forgive us today, God. We renounce every lie of passivity that has kept us bound in the name of Jesus, that has kept us sidetracked and sidelined from getting in the fight when he's already called you up. He's already called you up to active duty. He's already called you up to active duty. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. You are on active duty. You are on assignment. It's just time to plug back in 100%. It's just time to reconnect 100%. So we say today, in the name of Jesus, we choose to reconnect 100%, God, to your heart, to your mind, to your ways, Jesus. Woo. We renounce every place of laziness, complacency, apathy, indifference. In the name of Jesus, we break every tie. We plead the blood of Jesus over every legal right of the enemy and even every place where he's trespassing in our lives. And we declare with the authority of the Word of God and the power of Jesus Christ, every enemy of passivity, every demon power of passivity and laziness and complacency and apathy, go now in the name of Jesus. Go now in the mighty name of Jesus. I say no more in the name of Jesus. No more squatters up in this house. In Jesus' name, we evict you by the power of the cross. We evict you by the power of the blood of Jesus. We cast you out and cast you down in the name of Jesus Christ. Ketebe shekatabashe, roboko shatabashe. We declare freedom right now over every place. Freedom right now over every place. And I say in the name of Jesus, a fresh resistance, a fresh resistance. I say, let a zeal come over your resolve. Let a zeal come over your resistance in the name of Jesus. We're not playing patty cake with the devil anymore. We're not falling for the same little tricks anymore. In the name of Jesus, God, we take on the warrior mindset. We take on the mind of Christ, and we go out like Jesus, and we go out like a man of war, and we stir up our zeal like a warrior, and we ask you, Holy Ghost, to help us in those areas, help us in our weakness, God, so that you can be shown strong, so that you can be shown powerful, so that you can get the glory, so that you can get the honor, God, so that we can be free, so our families can be free, so our marriages can be strong, so our kids can grow up healthy and loved and full of the fire and full of the truth. In the name of Jesus, help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. We need your help, God. We need your help, God. Oh, I feel the helper coming. Come on, there's a moment right here where you can lay down once and for all. You can lay down once and for all anything that has been gripping you in passivity and keeping you from stepping out in faith right here. Every place of fear, every place of anxiety, every place where you don't trust him 100%, that place can die today. And you can walk out with full faith, full confidence, full expectation. Harabashe ketebashe. Shoo! In the name of Jesus, we cut every tie. We burn every cart today of passivity in the name of Jesus. And we declare once again, we trust you. We trust you, God. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to like it. But if the commander says do it, we do it. If the commander says go, we go. If the commander says speak, we speak in the name of Jesus, God. A fresh resolve today, a fresh resolve of resistance today in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now for that anointing of the diligent disciple. God, I pray right now that you pour it out fresh, pour it out fresh, pour it out fresh right now in the name of Jesus. I speak diligence. Diligence over your resistance. Diligence over your fight. Diligence over your resolve. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I see an army being activated. I see an army being activated to stand and fight and to push back. Come on, the only way you take territory is advance. The only way you take territory is to go. The only way you take territory, look, if all you do is sit back, all you can do is defend. But if you go out, you can take. If you go out, you can grow. If you go out, you can get the spoils of war. Hey! So I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, equip us and empower us to go forth out of this place today with full faith, full diligence, full zeal, full strength, strength, strength. Hey, an army of doers, an army of doers, an army of doers, ha, an army of doers, katabasheke, an army of doers in the name of Jesus. I say this week, you're going to get some battle plans. You're going to get some strategies. If you ask him, come on, somebody. You're going to get some strategies. You're going to get some battle plans. He's going to start showing you what to do step by step. It doesn't matter how small. It doesn't matter how insignificant. Whatever it is that he says, just do it and watch. Father, I speak blessing over your people today in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless them. Favor them. Let your glory and your favor surround them like a shield. God, I thank you that you go before us. I thank you that you're our rear guard. I thank you that you boldly lead us into battle. And I thank you that you always lead us in triumph in Christ. And that we are more than conquerors through you, God. So show us where to march. Show us where to go. Show us where our specific fight is this week. And we thank you and we praise you in advance for the victory. Come on. Why don't we just take a few seconds and just praise him and thank him in advance. Just praise him and thank him. Oh! Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Oh! Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for the victory. Woo. So bless them, God, as they go. I say fresh fire, fresh zeal. I say let them hear your voice like never before. I say they tune out all the noise and they tune into your frequency and hang on your every word. And are diligent to go and do what you say. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.